It's not exaggerating to say that you or some of your family or some of your friends could be caught up in the problem that I want to ask you to think about today. At a Bible study earlier this week, and the plan is that over the course of the coming months, some focus is going to be placed upon looking at various concepts and ideas of why people, and more especially young people, are leaving the Lord's church. And so as a preacher, that's something that comes to my mind, is something I think about, of why there are so many people that are becoming more and more, are less and less interested in serving God. They're not more interested in serving God. I realize that you know that there are many people who believe God exists, yet they have no practical concept or no practical interest whatsoever in learning things about God and about His will. They're not willing to learn about what God says they need to do in their lives. They have no real interest in doing what they might already know the Bible speaks about. Simply put, they're just not interested. And if you try to talk to these individuals, you'll find out very quickly that they're not interested, and then they may come to the point where they just say, I don't care. I'm not interested in spiritual things. Talk all you want. I don't want to hear it. When I talk about people like that, I'm not just talking about people who are severely depressed and people that just don't want to have any association with anything. That these individuals that I'm talking about are not those that have lost interest in everything in their life. I'm talking about people who may be very active, very upbeat and happy individuals. They may be involved in many other activities, enthusiastic about many things, and an individual that would be described as someone who's always on the go. Even though they may be passionate about many things in this life, they're just not interested in things pertaining to God. They're not interested in things pertaining to the Bible. They're not interested in things pertaining to religion. And I'm sure that you probably know somebody like that. What's sad to think about is that a similar indifference of what we can see in other individuals, that a similar indifference can creep into the lives of Christians. Christians who were once very deep, devoted, involved, and committed individuals. People who were committed to serving God. In some cases, it becomes very obvious that they're not interested in God because they just quit going to church. They leave the church. They quit trying to be a Christian altogether. They just go off, as some describe it, they drop off the deep end. They go off and do their own thing. In other cases, people never quit, so to speak. They still attend services, but there's a change that occurs. Their attitude, their enthusiasm, their commitment, their priorities have changed, and it's something that is noticeable. The illustration of what I'm talking about can be found in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus writes to the church of the Laodiceans, Revelation chapter 3, notice beginning at verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. From what Jesus said here, it's clear that when he's talking about these individuals that are lukewarm, we go down to verse 19, it becomes very clear that lukewarm is not a state they need to be in. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. What may surprise us is that Jesus apparently considers half-hearted Christianity worse for his call than no religion at all. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. The point is that they hadn't, quote, quit the church, but they had allowed something fatal to happen to them. They hadn't stopped attending worship. They hadn't renounced Christ. They viewed themselves as Christians, but again, there's something that had changed in their lives. And the simple truth is, that kind of thing that happened to the Laodiceans can happen to people today. Is happening to people today. The reason I remind you about this is to show us another passage of Scripture that can help us understand what happens and to guard against it. This is part of what Jesus warned us about when he pictured different people hearing the Word of God. Turn over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. There is recorded by Luke the parable of the sower. This is one of three places where this familiar, well-known parable is found. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if we continue on in chapter 8, Bible students are aware that this is one of the few parables that Jesus explains. He gives us the explanation beginning in verse 11. In verse 11, this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So what we see is that the seed that falls on the good ground, that what that represents are people who hear, they believe, they obey, and they serve God no matter what. The seed that falls on the wayside ground represents people who never believe, they never obey, they don't become children of God. The seed that falls on the stony places represents people who become Christians, but they falter when they must sacrifice, when they have to suffer in order to remain children of God. What I want you to reflect upon is what we see about those that fall among the thorns in verse 14. This is the part of the parable that represents people who become distracted by what we might describe as mundane or secular things. And as a result, they become worthless to God. Notice again verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Friends, what Jesus is picturing here is exactly what's happening in lives of many people today. They're not serving God. They're not profiting God because they become so caught up in their own interest. As you think about how serious this is, when people become unprofitable to God, We think about the unprofitable vine mentioned in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, Jesus uses this figure of a vine to depict people who are unproductive, and he makes it very clear the consequences are horrible. The vine's going to be cut up, it's going to be cast into the fire. In Matthew chapter 25, we see the unprofitable servant. Jesus uses the figure here to depict that same type of unprofitable person. Now, in thinking about this, this idea of being unprofitable, I want us to understand that converting people is not the only way that Christians serve God or bear fruit. I think it is clear in the Bible that when Jesus says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, when it describes people bring no fruit to maturity, that it's talking about a very fatal flaw in their lives, what like we have seen in the unprofitable vine and the unprofitable servant that's cast out. So think again, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Those who fell among thorns are those who bring no fruit to maturity. Again, the concept is not that the only way that we can bring fruit is by converting other people. Growth in our own lives can bring forth fruit. But I want us to think about how something like that could happen in our lives. How that we could become choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Suppose someone got so involved in politics, serving God got pushed out of the first place in their life. And asking about, to think about that, I'm not just imagining someone who's personally running for a political office and things of that nature. I'm talking about someone who becomes so consumed with working for a political cause that his religion takes second place in his life. That's the only thing that they have time to talk about. They become so obsessed with politics, whether it is reading articles or our radio programs or news or discussing various topics. It becomes so involved in their lives that that's all they talk about. It's all they care about. It's very clear that is first and foremost in their lives. If that happened, would it fit into Jesus' description of letting God's word be choked out with cares, riches, pleasures of life? Suppose someone became so consumed by their job, so consumed by their career that they didn't have time to serve God. Think about a businessman who let the growth of his business become more important to him than being a faithful child of God. Think about an employee who becomes so obsessed with making more money, acquiring more and more, so he can buy all the things that he wants and he neglects his responsibility as a child of God. Takes him away from services. He can't find time to attend services because I'm working so much. Well, you know, the boss has laid all this on me, and I've got to be there. Suppose a young Christian in college becomes so involved in their educational program, learning all these things so that they can prepare themselves for a high-paying job, and all the while they're doing their studies and they're at school, and they forget about Wednesday night Bible study or assisting others. They forget to serve God because they're focused on their career. Do you suppose that that would be what Jesus is talking about when he says, choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life? Well, let's suppose that someone becomes so involved in recreational activity they're part of a sports organization. You can think about any type of leisure activity you want. And they become so involved in that that they have hardly the time, they have hardly the energy for anything that might be described as church work, doing things for the Lord. For example, you think of someone who continually let their hobby get in the way of serving God. And just pick a hobby. Woodworking, a painting, artistry. Just pick something. Suppose someone got so wrapped up in their child sports that it overshadowed their spiritual needs. It overshadowed their faithfulness. It overshadows their service to God because they're taking care of their child to this activity or that activity. Do you think that something like that might be included in what Jesus says? Chokes out cares, riches, and pleasures of life? Friends, in thinking about this, I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong. I'm not suggesting that a Christian cannot be involved in politics. I'm not even suggesting that a Christian can't be involved in business. In fact, the scriptures teach us that we should work in order to provide for our families. I'm not even suggesting that we can't have any hobbies, we can't have any fun, we can't have any good times, that we can't enjoy life on this earth. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with trying to improve our community. Nothing wrong with spending time in leisure activities from time to time. Nothing wrong with making a living to provide for ourselves and for others. But I want us to understand it is possible to let things that aren't wrong in and of themselves, that are profitable in some sense, but it is possible to let those things to take an improper place, that they become so high of priority that God drops out of being first. And that's wrong. As you think about these things, and I hopefully you are thinking about this, and thinking about how you or somebody you know might have a problem that they're being choked out. And I hope that you're thinking about ways of how to overcome that if it is you, or how you can assist someone else to get those thorns out of their lives. As you think about that, let me remind you of a story that a prophet once told a king. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. We don't know the name of this prophet, but the king is King Ahab. King Ahab had carelessly not done something he should have done. The part of the story that we're interested in is going to start in verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 38. And the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant went out in the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, 'So shall your judgment be, you yourself have decided it.' And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. He said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people.' So the king of Israel went to his house sullen and displeased and came to Samaria." See, the point of the prophet's story is that here's an individual, he's entrusted with the safety of someone else. He's your responsibility. Don't let him get gone. Don't let him escape. Don't let him out of your sight. They've got a captured prisoner, and that man had the responsibility that should have taken a priority over everything else, and it was inexcusable for him to let other involvements and other distractions cause him to fail what is most important, for him to keep that prisoner captive. What I'm reminding you of is that our ultimate responsibility is to serve God. We can't let little things distract us. That doesn't mean that we can't also do other things, but we need to realize that it should never supersede, as described here. We should never let ourselves get so busy here and there that we forget our first priority. And I want to suggest to you, even with things that are innocent, cares, riches, and pleasures of life, when we fail to maintain our first priority, we failed at all. The problem that is facing us today is keeping our priorities straight, keeping first things first. This young prophet describes a story of, here's an individual, he's got a captured prisoner here. That's your responsibility. You keep him safe. It's going to be his life or yours, or you're going to pay for it. Well, you know, I got busy with all these things. Well, you know, this over here, I got distracted. Did that excuse work for Ahab? Do we think that excuse is going to work for us? Yes, I know, God, that you told us that this is what you wanted us to do. I realize that you want us to serve you. I realize you want us to worship you on the Lord's Day. I realize that you want us to gather together and just keep making the list. Well, you know, but I got busy with this. You know, life has been busy with that and the kids and the job. And we must not let ourselves become so distracted by the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life, that God's business gets choked out of our lives. Friends, I want you just to think about that. I hope you understand that I want us to think about that. I said us on purpose. Had a phone call with a good friend of mine just the other day. He'd called because he'd recognized some more things that have been happening with my family. I'm very appreciative for the phone call. He's a brother in Christ, and I love him. But I mentioned to him this idea. You know, when we moved to Athens, we would be closer to family. I thought that when we moved to Athens and our kids are all out of the house and it's just me and Tanya, that there might be a time where we can kind of slow down a little bit. And I made the point to him real quick. Hey, I realize it's not slowing down. And he correctly said, Jeff, how old are you? You realize. Yeah. Our lives are busy. I get it. What I'm trying to remind us of is that there's some priorities and we've got to put first things first. And when we fail to do that, we're no different than the thorns, than the seed that fell among the thorns. And the thorns, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life are choking out. Remember what the seed is? The seed is the Word of God. Have I let things that are good in their place assume too important a place in my life? We need to ask that question. We need to contemplate on that regularly. And if we answer yes, that is the case, then we need to reset our priorities. We need to ask God to forgive us. Put Him first. Put Him above all else. Knowing that all the things of this life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, will be provided to those, what is it Jesus says? Who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you let distractions keep you from really being a child of God, a faithful child of God, you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. But I realize that the distractions of this life can keep someone from ever becoming a child of God. If you find that to be the case in your life, that the things that you are concerned about just get you to the point where, well, I know I need to be baptized. I know I need to repent of my sins. I know I need to confess to others that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if you let things of this life and distractions keep you from that, remember the story of the thorns. They'd be pulled up, cast away, unprofitable to God. We want to be profitable. What is it that we need to do in order to make our life right with God? If we can assist you in some way, whether you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins or you need to make public confession of sin in your life, here's the time and here's the opportunity. And we bid you come as together we stand and sing.